Today, August 31st, the bloodiest month in the Syrian uprising comes to a close, and there are no signs of fighting easing up between government forces and rebels. In the month of August, killings rose to more than 200 people a day. That's according to relief agencies. Tens of thousands of Syrians are fleeing to neighboring countries and flooding refugee camps.
And it's been a very busy several weeks. In Jordan, which is hosting most of the refugees, security officials suggested they would expel more than 100 Syrians who have violently protested camp conditions. Turkey asked for international aid and for the establishment of a safe zone within Syria, an idea that was mocked by Syria's President Bashar al-Assad. And diplomats spent the week flinging insults and accusations.
And at a summit in Iran, Syrian delegates got up and walked out when Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi called Assad's government an oppressive regime that has lost its legitimacy. All of this as Assad's forces continue to pound towns and villages in Syria. NPR's Deborah Amos has this report from Aleppo province in Syria's north.
The Syrian refugees camped out at this border post waiting to cross into Turkey all tell a similar story.
My name is Yusuf.
About why they packed up and ran from home.
Because the airplane take the city every day. I feel terrible, horrible. We are tired here.
Yusuf is from Aleppo province, and like many others here, he decided to leave a rebel-held town. Rebel brigades have grown bolder in ambushing regime troops and tanks, but are mainly powerless against the Air Force attacks. Just a few miles down the road, in northern Syria, we stop at a Syrian middle school. There was a tough fight here. The buildings look pretty battered.
You can see the artillery shell holes in the concrete of the building. There's a rebel group who are now using this as a headquarters.
26-year-old Abu Julan is the commander. He says he can see the refugees heading to the border. He believes the regime is targeting civilians even more than the rebels.
It's an attempt to incite people against us, because the moment we are gaining control over areas, then it is increasing. There are areas where even there is no military battles, but they are targeting it so that people turn against us.
The rebel base is on the outskirts of Azaz. Rebels pushed the army out last month in a series of street battles that left four army tanks buried in rubble in front of the town's largest mosque.
The tanks, you can see, have been burned and blackened. The tank tracks have come off the wheels.
The regime loyalists are gone, but life here is hardly normal. More than 70,000 people lived in this border town. Now only 10,000 remain. Garbage is piled in the street, and the schools are closed.
Mama.
At the local hospital, the windows of the X-ray room are shattered. There's only one doctor who sees patients. The rest fled to Turkey. The shops are mostly empty. Not much food gets delivered to Azaz. International aid is almost non-existent. Baby formula is now impossible to find. On the main street, residents line up for bread at a bakery where flour is supplied by a Turkish charity.
Do you have bread for everybody?
It won't be enough for everybody.
But the larger hardship comes from the mortars and artillery shells that land in Azaz almost every night. The Syrian military still controls an airbase about 10 miles outside of town. A fighter jet dropped two bombs in one neighborhood, killing at least 60 people earlier this month. At sunset, many here clear out of town, says shopkeeper Hamid Ajuma, because that's when the shelling often starts.
Many people just take their families. We take a mattress, we take whatever we can, we spend the night outdoor, and then in the day we come back to our houses.
But many more are now heading for the Turkish border, about 5 miles away, to join the mass of Syrian refugees. Deborah Amos, NPR News.